Today on Real Radio.
Well, if my name's in the Book of Life, doesn't mean I'm going to heaven? No, it doesn't. Read the fine print. The great white throne judgment, no one is saved. No one goes to heaven. In that sense, all roads do lead to God, but not heaven.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues with a common theme we've been bringing to you all this week, salvation. On the first couple of days, we were faced with the question, are you going to heaven? Now, our teacher continues with this theme, asking another question of equal importance. Are you ready to meet God? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
He comes to rapture the church and he doesn't even come to earth. He's in the atmosphere. And the Bible says that we'll be raptured up. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, concerning the timing and what you and I think about and do right now matters. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. The word caught up, two English words have to describe it, caught up. The word in Greek is harpazo. Isn't that a great word? Sounds Italian, I know. I want two meatballs, spaghetti, and a harpazo. Extra sauce. Harpazo, what does it mean? It means a violent uplifting or snatching away, a taking out of, a pulling away from. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Thessalonians 4, that there is going to be a time when Christ himself descends. We'll read it in a moment. And those who are of the church will be violently taken away from this earth and brought into his presence. It's called the rapture. I hope it happens now. Or right now. Now. Caught up. The Latin word, you know. Rapture. What's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15:50. This is fun stuff. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means something's got to happen. You either got to die or you got to get raptured. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all die, the word means, but we shall be metamorpho, changed, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise incorruptible, and we who are alive will be changed. Did you hear Paul's statements? Paul thought that he would be in the we group. He didn't say, well, you know, someday when I'm dead, my body's going to come up out of the grave. He said, we who are alive. Paul was living for the imminent return of Christ. That's the way, by the way, every believer should live through every generation until he does return. It's awesome. But listen, there's more. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, Christians, you have no need that I should write to you. You don't need to get a letter from me. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Watch out. The question should be, for who? For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, Christians, are not in darkness so that that day should overtake you as a thief. Don't let anyone ever tell you, Christian, if you are prepared to meet thy God, don't let anyone ever tell you that, you know, the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night. Oh, yeah, he is to those who are not watching, but not so concerning the believer. The word time here, this gets exciting, especially when you realize, did not Jesus say, no man knows the day or the hour? Did you hear me? Nobody knows the day or the hour. That is very cool. But listen to what Paul said. Concerning the times and the seasons, you'll have no need that I should write to you? Why? We or some generations going to be discerning something. Number one, the word time is chronos, like chronology. Chronos is to keep time. Chronographer, Watch. The word in Greek means a specific time or time frame, a designated fixed segment of time, otherwise described as an event, an occasion, or an interval, time. It's short, but it's not 1 hour, 1 minute, or 1 day. It's a collection, but not many. Then he said, the seasons. You'll know the times and you'll know the seasons. The word seasons here in the Greek is kairos, and that word means a time period. Watch, a collection of segments of time. The word is also used for seasons. We have four seasons in a year. A collection of times. 3 months would be viewed as a season. Paul is saying there's going to come a time and a season when the believers who are living during the time that the Lord's coming back, they're going to be discerning something's up. We won't know the day or the hour, but we're going to start getting a gut feel. Man, you know what? Things are looking pretty biblical. And I just want to suggest this. I'm not saying that he's coming back next month. I'm saying he could come back now. But look around. You have Russia fueling Iran at breakneck speed now. I mean, it's crazy. That reminds me of a scripture. You've got this insanity of what may be the Antichrist religion that is sweeping the earth with Islam, whose motive of conversion, if you don't like the message, is beheading. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, those who don't worship the religion of the Antichrist is what? Beheaded. Heard that before. Gee whiz. You can look at some violence and people, their minds are thinking evil continually. Yikes. So much is going on. What about apostasy and apathy among the believers? People giving up on the Bible. People giving up on prayer. People giving up on commitment. People just quitting. People turning in their Christianity like never before. Are those indicators that we should be awake and be watching for we could be entering the times and the seasons? I think so. What if you're wrong? Then I'm ready. What if you're wrong? Jesus said in Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. Okay, listen, very quickly. Actually, you're fine. I'm the one slowing down. I need to pick it up. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. And yet the church is ignorant about what he's going to say. He says, don't be dumb. Don't be stupid, brethren, concerning those who have died in Jesus, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, thank you, that's not an angel, but it's him, will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to, that's that word hapazo, to meet them in the clouds with the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you know how great that's going to be? There's going to be a time. I'll act it out for you. Watch this. Let's pretend there's a funeral at Rose Hills or Forest Lawn. We're doing the funeral, and now we commit, you know, Brother John's body to the earth and blah, 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 and we're there, and everyone's crying. And we just put the guy in. Voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. Can you imagine? In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, man! The ground's going to open up. The guy's going to be resurrected. And then, and just a few milliseconds after that, we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. I would love to be doing a funeral that day. It'd be great. Boom, boom. And we'll meet them in the air. You say, well, I don't understand that. Listen, when you and I die, when we die, see this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's got to be changed. But if it's not time yet, I bury my mom, I bury my dad, I bury my sister. There are bodies in the grave, but they're not there. They believed in Jesus. They're with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. They are more alive now than they ever have been, but their body's at Forest Lawn. They don't need their body where they're at right now. Their body's here. Resurrection hasn't come yet. When the Lord comes and the trumpet blast takes place, their carcass is going to be raised from the grave and metamorphosed in a second. It's going to be reconstituted, resurrected, just like Jesus' body. And they are going to receive, as he comes with them, they're going to receive that new body. And then in a second, we are going to be raptured and meet them in the air. And it says, and we will always be with them. So comfort one another with these words. You know why this is fun? If you, listen, I don't want to upset anybody. But if I do and it leads you to hopeful truth, then right on. Here it is. If you don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture view, you're bummed. I mean, you're just bummed out. And I got to tell you, I used to believe in it, and then I didn't, and then I did. And I got to tell you, it's a lot easier to believe what the Bible simply says than to fight against it. Check this out. I'm indebted to Dr. John Wolverd, who personally showed me this verse as to what convinced him among so many others. But this is a great verse. Are you ready for this? Turn there if you would. John 14. John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. If you don't believe, if you want to say, I believe in my Bible, every verse, okay, then you're gonna have a great moment here. John 14, 1. This is the most powerful pre-tribulation rapture verse you can imagine. And I'm not here to push some man's view. I don't have a man's view. This is a biblical view. It was Paul's view. And apparently, it's Jesus's. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Church, where is that? Okay. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. Where is that? Where did he go?
Heaven.
He went to heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Oh, really? Yeah. That where I am, where is he?
Heaven.
That where I am, there you may be also. That means you've got to have Jesus in heaven right now preparing for us a dwelling. Then he's going to come and take somebody up to where he's at. And there is built into this a period of time. Because if you're looking at any other view, you've got Jesus Christ coming, grabbing, and continuing to come down. You never get in heaven. You never get to the mansions. You never get to what he's been preparing. Because once he returns in the second coming, the millennium begins. He sits upon the throne of David for 1,000 years. Think about it. It is an absolutely awesome thing. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Oh, don't worry. I'm going to come back and get you and take you where I'm at. Amen. May it be today. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. Apart from sin, the word means sin's over, dealt with, done. For salvation, absolute total redemption, body, soul, and spirit. Point number 4, are you prepared to meet God? Are you ready to go to the meeting? Are you ready to go? You can be dressed, you can have all your stuff, but unless you're ready to go, you're going to flop. Listen, because what it takes to get ready for the meeting matters. Christian, this is vital. Jesus said in John chapter 3, see, what does it take to get ready for the meeting? This is such a common verse that sometimes people don't even pay attention to it anymore. How do I get ready to meet God face to face? Well, I'll give you an example. Remember the thief on the cross? This is a weird moment. Thief on the cross. Was he a bad man? Oh, he was a bad man. How much money had he tied in his Christian career? Anybody? Did he ever get dressed up for church? Did he work in the children's ministry? Did he ever work in the parking lot ministry? No. In fact, he started out his day cursing at Jesus. If anybody's ever come in under the wire, it's this guy. In fact, God is so good, and that story is so offensive to so many people's self-righteousness that it offends them. You say, I don't get it. How about this? Hitler could have cried out to the Lord right before he died. You don't like that. You might say, my mother was Jewish and she... I understand that. But God does not think like that. The thief on the cross was the worst of the worst, and he turned and he said, Jesus, he didn't even raise your hand. He couldn't even raise his hand. He didn't even pray the prayer right. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He wasn't even asking to come on. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus knew what was in his heart. Listen, each and every one of us today, how do you get ready for the meeting? How are you to be prepared? And how do you wear what you wear? And how do you get ready? Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, he was the religious leader of Israel, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. The word in the Greek is born from above. Jesus went on to explain, everyone who's born of water has been born of water. You've been born from your mama once. Everyone's born from their mama once. But you don't get to heaven by being born into this planet. You got to be born a second time. How's that? Ah, born of the Spirit, born from above. There's life here on this planet. There's life in the Spirit. Jesus said the way to get there, the way to be ready, to meet thy God, is to come to God on his terms. And God says this, this is it. You must be born again. Isn't it awesome that he didn't say, you got to get on your bike and ride all over the county and hand out these books and do all these good things and marry this way and give all that or strap a belt around your face and go blow yourself up or whatever it is. He said, you have to be born again. It's impossible. We can do all that stuff. We could blow ourselves up. We could ride bikes. He told us, you have to be born again. Or else you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. Just that invitation causes you to fall on your knees and say, Jesus, what do I do to be saved? I don't understand this. Oh, God in heaven. That's it. That's where you start, right there. And you believe in him who went to the cross for your sins and mine, bin Ladens and Hitlers. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Amen. And you can say, oh, Lord God, I pray that you'd forgive me now. And he'll forgive you. And then number five, which of the meetings are you going to go to? You say, what are you talking about? Which of the meetings? Prepare to meet thy God. Oh, yeah, but read the fine print. Read the fine print. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, that there's a great white throne judgment. And the books were opened. Listen carefully, everybody. The books were opened. And all those who were found in the book, they were judged according to their works. You know why I point that verse out? I have friends who are not Christians. And they say, that's what we're looking forward to, right there. That's what they're told. That the book of life is going to be, listen carefully, you miss this, you're going to miss a lot. You open up the book and there's these names and they'll tell you if, with our name there, we're going to be judged according to our works, but they don't read the first few verses down past that. It goes on to say, and the beast and the false prophet, death and hell, the devil, all these things, and those who were judged in the book were cast into the lake of fire of brimstone that burns forever. You say, wait a minute. Weren't their names in the book of life? Listen, yes, they were. Well, if my name's in the book of life, doesn't mean I'm going to heaven? No, it doesn't. Read the fine print. The great white throne judgment, no one is saved. No one goes to heaven. In that sense, all roads do lead to God, but not heaven. Every human will stand before God in judgment. Unless, watch, unless you're born again. Watch what happens. Are you watching? The book of life records the names of all humans that have ever been given life. Everybody is in the book of life. That's why, by the way, Jesus said, you've been given these talents, go and invest them, go do. But the one man said, no, I'm afraid of you, I'm going to sit on it. Remember, he buries it and just sits on it? That is a picture of a man who's been given life and doesn't do anything with his life for God. He just protects his own little life. Every human's been written in the book of life. But when you accept Jesus Christ, the Bible mentions another book. You remember what the name of that book is called? That's right, the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, well, yeah, but Jack, doesn't it say that you could get your name blotted out of the book? Oh, yes, it does say that. But not the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you guys awake?
Yes.
Watch this. Everybody's in the book of life. But the moment you become born again, watch this. It's as though God takes his Mac, his Apple computer there. He highlights your name. The moment you accept Christ, your name is Apple C, copy, Apple P, paste, into the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name appears in the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life. Watch this. And then, if you die, or when you die, your name, you're a Christian, your name is there. It cannot be blotted out. But watch, if you never come to know Jesus Christ, your name is, as in Revelation 20, your name is written in the Book of Life, but when the Lamb's Book of Life is open, your name's not found. It was never copied and pasted over. It's not there. And when it's not in this book, in the end, right before eternity begins, when your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're judged according to the things that you did in this life. And Revelation 20 says the end is horrific. You're at the white throne judgment of God, and then the name is blotted out. How do you keep your name? Get your name copied and pasted into the Lamb's Book of Life. It's called being born again. It's very important you understand that. People will wonder, okay, I'm going to get my name blotted out of the book. Are you born again? Don't worry about it. You're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, but listen. There is a judgment, though. I said there's two. Where are you going to stand? There is a judgment for the believer. The Bible says it's the Bema seat, the Bema judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. I've been there. When Paul was speaking to the Corinthian believers, they've unearthed it in Corinth. The actual one is there where Paul stood. They found it. They dug it up. It's awesome. What is it? It's the Olympic seat. It's where you stand. You get first, second, or third. Bema. It's the reward seat. If you're a Christian, you're going to be rewarded for the things that you've done for the Lord. It has nothing to do with your salvation. And your judgment is safe. You're not going to hell. In fact, when we're rewarded for what we've done, you say, well, Jack, I don't want any rewards. I understand your heart. I'm totally with you. But listen, it says when we're rewarded for what we've done, doesn't it say in the book of Revelation, we cast our crowns back at his feet? So here's what you want to do. You want to live for his glory now. You're not going to walk around saying, dude, look at my crown up here. Man, look at that thing. Whoa, it's so big. You're not going to be like that. When God blesses you at the Bema seat of Christ, we're going to cast all that he's given us back to him, and he gets the glory. That's why we want to do all that we can to the glory of God, not our own glory. So let me ask you, as we end this, are you prepared to meet God? Are you born again? Does your life show it? Can people look at you and say, well, it's obvious that guy's a Christian. Drives me crazy. Look at him. Salt and light. Or do people look at you and they can't tell the difference?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, confronting us with a life and death question. Are you ready to meet God? It's an examination of biblical passages like Amos chapter 4, among others, that cause us to face this uncomfortable question. On Monday's edition of Real Radio, we begin a new series in a New Testament letter written by a half-brother of Jesus. Meanwhile, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, for more resources that'll help you better understand what it means to have a reconciliation with your Maker. realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you're a regular listener to Real Radio and you've benefited from this broadcast, remember that there's still time left here in 2011 for you to be involved financially. Real Radio is listener-supported, and all contributions are tax-deductible. Again, call us at 877-RR-RADIO or visit us at realradioactive.org. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.